Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and oh my goodness, have we got some good things to share with you. So I want you to be sure that you have that pad of paper handy and that pen, because you're going to want to make notes. Now, our guest today is Richard Smith, and Richard is a man that has a passion for real estate, and he is going to give us some insightful information about buying and selling a home, or better yet, today we're going to find out about some people and some situations that they went through. And I want to welcome Richard to the show. Thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Donna. Thank you for having me.
Well, it is just always, I have to tell you, fascinating to be able to chat about real estate. It is a subject matter. I was reviewing material today that was talking about different areas of the country and how in some parts of the country the real estate market is lousy, in other parts of the country it's just skyrocketing. And you hear all of these different points of information, but I also remember there's one movie that Tom Hanks was in regarding the, what do I want to say, the house from hell?
The Money Pit.
That's it. The Money Pit. I watched part. I was so horrendous to me, I thought, I can't watch it till the end. I just can't. I mean, this is awful. But I have to tell you, I was talking with someone, Richard, just a few days ago, that is in the process of wanting to remodel a home that was built in the 1950s, and a construction guy came to her and said, excuse me, ma'am, do yourself a favor. Don't renovate. Just bulldoze the house down or sell it to somebody, because it's going to cost you a fortune.
Yes.
And so today, I know you have got such wonderful, wonderful insights into this. Let's talk about some of these things that people have gone through that have been horrors, like the movie The Money Pit.
Well, exactly, Donna. What I've done is I've made a listing like of the top 10 horror stories that I have encountered. I'm sure there's hundreds and thousands of others, but sometimes we don't hear of them because sometimes the people are too embarrassed to talk about them, and I only hear of them secondhand through their neighbor or their cousin or their uncle because they're too embarrassed to talk about the dumb things they've gotten involved in.
Now, I want my audience to know, Richard, that you're a licensed real estate appraiser, a licensed real estate salesperson, a licensed builder. You've been a licensed insurance adjuster, you're a trained home inspector, you've been involved with publishing various materials, and you yourself have been hands-on, very much involved with evaluating 7,000 to 10,000 homes in four different states over the years. So you're coming from the positioning, if you could narrow it down to just 10 prime examples, I'd say, boy, these must really be doozies.
Well, let's start with number 10. The first one I'm going to call is Saltwater Sam. Many years ago, I appraised a home in a rural area, and they actually, most of the houses typically in that area would have their own private well,
mm-hmm.
and they typically do have their own septic system. Well, in this particular area of the county, it had public water, which was quite unique because it was way out in the country, so to speak. And so after doing my walkthrough and taking notes, I talked with the homeowner, and he indicated that prior to the public water coming through, yes, he bought it when it did have the public water, but prior to that, it was a real disaster. The previous homeowner had gone through like two water heaters, a dishwasher, an automatic washer, easily $1,500 because of the salt content in the water, let alone they couldn't drink it.
Where did the salt come from, for heaven's sake?
It was a naturally occurring phenomenon, but they only started building houses in that region, say, like about 10 or 15 years ago. And what happened is, a lot of people bought these houses or had them built unknowingly of the circumstances they were getting involved in. But you can imagine trying to sell a house that, you know, the water's undrinkable, it rusts everything in sight. It was just a real, you know, real disaster. But a lot of people, you know, and many times first-time home buyers, people out of the area, they didn't have a clue.
Okay, let's stop there for a minute, Richard, because you're bringing up something that is so significant here. People move, or they are wanting to go into a different area of country, and my goodness, I can think about here in the Pacific Northwest, you can just go 10 miles in a different direction, and you've got a whole different type of water. You have a whole different type of circumstance. You could be in a floodplain, for heaven's sake.
Yes, yes, indeed.
So here you have this situation where developers are building like this. Didn't anybody check for this? What kind of a checklist can you use to be aware of something like this? I mean, this is horrific.
Right.
You
right.
go into that. This is a disaster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it really is. A good thing that a lot of people don't realize in many areas of the country is that the well drillers will have what are called salt water maps. So if you were buying a lot to build a house in, it would be very wise if it required the drilling of a private well to check with the local well drillers to see if this is notorious for salt water, if there's some unusual features of drilling a well, unusual water quality. But a lot of people just go, oh, gung-ho, I'm going to buy this lot, but they don't do their homework. And a lot of people aren't even aware that many of the well drillers have these maps. They don't, you know, advertise that, but if you were to call a couple and say, hey, if you drilled wells in such and such an area, do you have, like, maps or something of that area? You might find that the old-timers, so to speak, might have maps of that area, and you could get a real clue over experience of where the bad areas, where the good areas are.
Now, there's another side to this as well, because depending on where you live, I was born and raised in California, and I remember living in different areas of California, and you really had to pay attention to the water. And I can remember having a vivid experience of going into someone's home and the water coming out smelling like sulfur, and it was yellow. And I said, what in the world is going on here? And they said, well, we just don't know what to do. At that time, they had tried all kinds of things. So how, when you move, depending on what area of the country you're in. Now, I know, like, here in the Pacific Northwest, we have many, many of the areas where you have to drill for wells. Just like you've been talking about, people want to buy this beautiful piece of property out in the country somewhere. They have this wonderful dream, and it can be the dream from hell, because you could end up not having water. You might have a depth level that has to be considered. You might have to go down, like somebody I've known, that had to go down 250 feet. To find the water.
Right.
This
right.
is not fun, folks.
No, it's expensive, too. You know, and again, you can check with some area well drillers before, you know, before you're buying, or if you're buying an existing house, you can start scouting around the neighborhood, ask some of the neighbors. If you see them out cutting their lawn or something, you know, you might ask them what they know about the water quality and some of the peculiarities of that neighborhood. Maybe some people won't talk with you, but you'd be surprised, a lot of people would. And you'll very likely get some straight answers from them rather than the perhaps the person or the company that's selling the house.
I think that's a very good point. Also, if you have a chance to go into the home of anyone, look at their kitchen sinks and their toilet bowls.
Exactly.
I know that sounds tacky,
folks.
No. You're going to say, gee, can I use your bathroom? But go ahead, and if you can,
check it out because
some of these water tables will have minerals and all kinds of stuff in it.
Things that there's no cleaner that could take the stain out. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, you had 10 stories, so let's go with Ivan the investor that you've got.
Ivan the investor. This is something that is really worth about $50,000 in a loss.
Ouch.
This gentleman that I'm aware of is a businessman and been successful at that. And as a hobby, he would buy houses that were either a distressed sale or in need of repairs and fix them up on his own good time. He would do a lot of the work. He'd subcontract a lot of it out. And he'd done about 10 or 12 of these over like over a 20-year period. And he was getting fairly successful at doing this. But he got a little bit cocky. He got a little bit out of his area of expertise. He found a house that was a waterfront property, and he had never bought a house on waterfront property, but this lake had quite a reputation in the county, and he thought, well, there's no way I can go wrong. I'll make a bundle here on this deal. Well, what he didn't realize is that how little he knew. The appraisal that was done to set the value, he never looked at it. He never asked who the appraiser was to get an idea of the competence and the reputation of the appraiser. And basically, the appraisal was inflated. It was incorrect because the comparables that were used were houses that were on the main lake, whereas this property was on a channel. So you've got differences in regards to view. You've got differences in regards to utility for swimming and boat usage and all that sort of thing. But he just bought a hook, line, and sinker. And the other bad thing in the design of the house was all the bedrooms were at the back of the house, which is not a bad thing, but the house backed up to a county road. So you would have the road noise, you'd have your loss of privacy. It was just a poor layout, a poor location. And as he indicated to me, it was the only time in, 20-some years of buying fixer-uppers that he basically lost about $50,000 when he sold it, because he just couldn't sell it. The people who looked at it could pick out the inadequacies quicker than he could, because he was just enamored with having a lakefront property to get an investment in.
Well, there's a number of things that come into my mind when you're mentioning that. One, when you have lakefront, you have to be very, very careful, because if it is on a lake, you could have a happy storm come along and you can have a severe problem with flooding.
Yeah.
And you have insurance that's going to have to be paid on that property. You're going to have all kinds of things. Now, the sound barriers that they have, would that have been something that he could have put up to, I mean, that would have cost him extra money to put in.
Yeah, it would cost him extra money. And, lots of times with these modern high-efficiency windows, insulated windows, those are tremendous in cutting down a lot of sound.
Mm-hmm.
You can get draperies and things like that to cut down on the sound. But there was just a whole multitude of things that he was just enamored by the lake. And he just could not see from, a rational point of view, deciphering it like he normally did. That he was just blindsided. He was just very, very foolish on it. But, and this was a seasoned person who was normally doing his homework. The one thing he tried to use as one of his negotiating tactics was trying to find people that were in the midst of selling their existing home and buying or having another home built. And they would get in a process which would be called a bridge loan.
Mm-hmm.
The bank would loan them the money to have the house built, with the idea that the house that they're living in would be sold maybe within 6 or 8 months. Well, what happened is sometimes these houses wouldn't sell the existing house. The people are moving into the new one. They're facing 2 house payments. They got this bridge loan that's coming due. They're in severe straits. And so what he would often do would ask the people the circumstances, which, that's his right. That's the way he negotiated.
Absolutely.
And he would find out, and if that house hadn't sold for 6 or 8 months, he'd go back and give them, I don't want to say a lowball offer, but they were more interested in what he was offering them than what they were 6 months before. And so a lot of the money he made was through the negotiation process. If he had people that were distressed, they had to move out of their existing home to get into the newly built home, and he took advantage of the situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they actually, the ones that sold him their house, they came out ahead because they got into a new house.
Yeah.
And he got stuck with everything that they were wanting to get away from. So it's fascinating. But you make a point about the appraiser that I think is very important, and that is checking the report.
Yeah.
If someone is investigating, and also, how does someone check out the credibility of an appraiser? Because I've seen both sides. I've seen appraisers that are so low that you go, excuse me, what are you looking at, for heaven's sakes? And maybe they're with a bank or some organization and they want a lowball figure. And then you have others that, like you said, super inflate to make it sound like it's a castle, you know, from England somewhere.
Disney World, yeah.
Oh, just ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll save that for another time. But, you really have to have a good idea of the reputation of the individual. And there's a lot of tactics that can be played by real estate firms and banks and so forth are bringing in people that are not from that area to give them values that are unrealistic to make their deal go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I won't get off on that tangent, but I mean it happens, but it really does.
Well, let's talk about
modular
homes, because
okay.
those are so very, very popular.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, there's actually, when we talk about the category of manufactured homes and modular homes, they all fit under the category of being manufactured homes. The true manufactured homes will have, like, steel girders, I-beams on the undercarriage. Modular homes many times will have floor trusses and floor joists. So when they're actually placed on a foundation, whether it be a crawl space or pillars or piers or a basement, it's very hard for the average person to see if they're actually made partially in a factory or if they're stick-built on the site. So it's very difficult, and a lot of the modular homes are such quality in terms of materials, it's really hard to tell. But the one thing that this has made an excellent alternative for a lot of people to get into newer housing at a more economical price, because they oftentimes act as their own general contractor. But the thing that a lot of people don't realize is that when they hire someone to place this home on the foundation or the basement, that there are certain ways to do it. And most of these are according to engineers' directions and specifications. Some of the homes actually have to be lifted onto the foundation with a crane.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've seen that.
Yeah, and there's others that are rolled onto the foundation. They have to be, and of course this is all according to the specifications of an engineer. And there's certain hookup points of where they hook onto the house, where they lift it with a crane, things of that nature. So they just can't decide what they want to do. It has to be a specific system. So I had in a situation where it maybe, you know, I don't know for certain, but it's like the person who was the installer was really inexperienced. They hooked it up improperly. They used a crane to put this manufactured home onto the foundation, and it had a jackknife type of effect. So it actually was hooked improperly, not having supports in the middle, so the middle of the house came up, jacked up a little bit, and the other ends of the house were down.
So, oh, yuck.
Yeah, oh, yuck. It's right. They were able to salvage the situation and do repairs, but the homeowner actually even told me about this. I wasn't there. I was there like 5-10 years after the fact of doing a refinance appraisal, and he was telling me the horror story and, you know, what they had to do to repair it, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, you're looking, you may be losing $10,000 in repairs just because of hooking up with the wrong person who didn't know how to install that house properly.
Now, with the modular homes, they are, again, so fabulous today, because years ago they were like cardboard shacks as far as I was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But today they are just phenomenal, like you said, with the materials that they have.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how can someone ensure that they have, I mean, obviously, if you work with a credible firm, they should have those people that are skilled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're buying it from a particular company,
exactly,
and you go in, they should have those people that they can recommend. But how do you make sure that you're covered if somebody does make a goof like that?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. And the example I use is where people were trying to act as their own general contractor. And they had their own basement dug. They went to the dealer and bought the house, and then they hired somebody else to install it. So they kind of tried to cut through the corners to save themselves some money, and in the process, they didn't get people that were really skilled and experienced in terms of doing this. So that's where they got themselves in a predicament. You know, in terms of some of these things, you're going to have coverage that's going to be under the retail outlet that's going to have insurance for it. But if a person is involved in doing it themselves, they want to make sure they have a builder's risk type policy. And those are some things that they'd want to make sure with their insurance agent to make sure that they're covered for this whole process. because they don't want to be stuck, you know, with a house that they can't live in.
Absolutely. So the key is don't be penny wise and pound foolish.
Yep. And that brings us right into number 7, which is Bulldozer Bob.
Oh, that gives me an image that is unreal. Tell me about this Bulldozer Bob. I'm almost terrified.
It's really a very sad thing. It happened, but it's really sad. And we're talking about a $30,000 loss that would have happened 30 years ago. So it was basically this guy's life savings that were wiped out. Basically, this gentleman tried to act as his own general contractor. He bought the lot. He had the basement put in. And this was a concrete block basement. So all the blocks were laid. And then the next step, as I'm sure you're aware of, is they built the platform, which would actually be the floor of the house. So the steel girder that would be in the middle of the basement and the floor joists were in, the subfloor, so they would have that that would be sitting on top of the basement walls. Where part of the problem came about is that due to his inexperience, he did not brace the walls properly.
Oh, no.
On the inside. And then to add to difficulties, when you're digging for a basement, you have a big open trench all the way around these basement walls, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's all open. Well, that has to be backfilled with a bulldozer. Well, they use sand in most localities to do this, and the reason for that is that works the best. This gentleman didn't have the proper soils brought in. They were backfilling it with a lot of the clay, which was the original soil. And so the long and the short of it is, the guy on the bulldozer, who he hired as a subcontractor, backfilled around the perimeter of the basement, okay? And it started caving in the basement walls.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, they were bowled in. They were cracked in. I was, my job at that time, and like I say, this was 30-some years ago, was as an insurance adjuster. Well, this gentleman submitted a claim to his insurance company because he had a builder's risk policy that had insured him during the construction process. But I had to interview the bulldozer driver, and then from looking at the physical evidence of the tracks and so forth, the bulldozer driver never hit that basement. The homeowner claimed that he did, that he rammed it with his bulldozer. He never hit it. It was just the compaction of the soil when it was backfilled that caused it to bow in, plus it wasn't braced properly on the inside. So the long and the short of it is his insurance policy would only cover if there was physical contact between a vehicle and the building, not if there's a compaction or a pressing inward, and that's called like a named peril policy. So in this particular instance, he had no coverage. There's a different type of policy called an all-risk policy that very likely would have afforded coverage. The sad detail of this thing is that I had been by there after, you know, the claim was denied to this gentleman because of the reason no physical contact by a vehicle. And basically, the hole was filled in, the basement floor, everything was torn out, and basically he lost the whole thing. He lost everything. He couldn't afford to repair it. So
there again, we've got being a penny wise and pound foolish situation, and ignorance is not bliss when it comes to building, and it really does pay to check with some other people to find out how you can avoid this. I mean, I have heard horror stories myself over the years, and frequently, not always though, not always, but frequently people, just like you said, are trying to cut corners. Now, we're going to talk about a little bit of something, and for those of you listening, we're talking to Richard Smith. And this man has been an appraiser, he's been an inspector, this is his passion, real estate. And he wants to share these stories with you so that you can be informed, so that you, if you're wanting to build, if you're thinking of buying, if you're wanting to sell your home, this is important information to be aware of. Now, the next one we're talking about has to do with Francis. And boy, can I relate to this, being in the Northwest.
Okay,
tell us about Francis.
Okay, the story that I've labeled this is called Flood Insurance Francis. Well, as many of us are aware of with all the predicaments that have happened around the country, especially in New Orleans in the last couple of years, there is a need for flood insurance. And basically the need for the flood insurance is because homeowners policies do not cover flooding. So the federal government has provided flood insurance to take care of these situations, say, whether it be along a lake, it can be along the ocean, it can be along rivers, and sometimes it's just areas that happen to collect water.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you have designated areas which are flood-prone, and then an individual, through like their own insurance agent, or if they're going and getting a mortgage, they'll run into this need through their banker that they have to have flood insurance. And it's based upon the value of the home, and it's also based upon which flood zone that they're in. There's many, many different zones, and I'm not going to go into that, but this is something that applies all over the country. So it isn't peculiar just to Washington or Louisiana or Michigan or New Jersey. These are situations that apply all over the country. The situation that comes to mind was a fairly new-built home, probably 5 years old, in an upscale subdivision, and it actually was on a golf course. The golf course did not have any rivers. It did not have any lakes, but it did have some, like, little potholes, like some cattail potholes where there wouldn't even have been enough water in those cattails to even have ducks make a nest. But, I mean, it was just a wetland.
Mm-hmm.
And so this acts as, you know, a privacy barrier and can't be developed and all that sort of thing. Well, anyway, the people built the house. They had to have a mortgage. They had to have an appraisal when they built the house. No one was concerned or raised any challenges regarding whether they needed to have flood insurance. In fact, there was not an issue. When I got involved, which was like about 5 years later, they were trying to have the house refinanced when the interest rates were down, say, dramatically 2 or 3 years ago. And when I looked at the flood maps and so forth that I'm required to do, basically, it was not in a flood zone, and I so indicated and reported it to the mortgage company in my appraisal. Well, the mortgage company called, and they said, geez, okay, we had someone else take a look at this, a certification company, and they said, yes, it is, and it's going to cost $1,000 a year just for the flood insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this is silly because, you know, they can never collect because they're not in a floodplain. And the mortgage officer says, well, can't you write a letter? And I said, I can write all the letters all year long. I'm not a licensed surveyor, and what I say means nothing. So anyway, he says, well, how do I get a survey? He's really all in a dither because he's afraid he's going to lose his fee on this thing. And I said, well, you have to have a survey because that'll place the house into wherever the flood zone is. And but I said, the problem with that, you're going to be spending $300 to $500. Plus, you're going to be putting on a waiting list for anywhere from 3 to 6 months. He says, you're kidding me. I said, no, surveyor isn't just going to drop what they're doing and run out there for your little problem. So the way it was resolved is that the developer of the subdivision was contacted. He wrote a letter specifying where the flood zones were. But the thing that was really the important thing is they went to the building department of the local unit of government. They wrote, and it would happen to be a township, they wrote a letter specifying that it was not in a flood zone, and it did not even come close to a flood zone, and that was the turning factor. But, of course, they got it from an official government agency,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, had the credibility. So that's, otherwise, $1,000 a year for nothing is a lot of money.
Well, that's very important. And, of course, we're almost out of time, Richard, and I want people to know that they can go to your website, which is besmarthomebuying.com, besmarthomebuying.com, and you've got all kinds of material on that website, and they'll have other contact information for you. Richard, this has just been great, and we're going to have to continue some of this in the future. And my goodness, if some of you listening are saying, Donna, I've got gray hair just from listening to this stuff, don't worry about it. You can go out and get a rinse, and it'll be fine. You'll take the gray out in just a few seconds. But being informed enables you to make the right choices, and that's what this is all about. Richard, thanks ever so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you.
And you take care, and you've got your book, which is Be Smart Home Buying, and people can find out about that as well. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. This is Richard's website. Go and use it because it is something that's going to be very useful to you. BeSmartHomeBuying.com. You can't lose. Your home is going to be your most valuable asset more than likely during your life. So make sure you're informed whether you're buying, selling, remodeling, whatever you're going to do. and Richard's the guy to talk to. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be right back. Don't you go away now.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
McDonald's Northwest Women's Show is a show that's all about you, your body, your spirit, your life. Hundreds of exhibits, 5 entertainment stages, and best of all, shopping. Hear Marianne Williamson, Oprah's expert on spiritual guidance, love, and miracles, and celebrity fitness guru and author Bob Green, March 23rd through 25th, 10 till 6 daily, at Quest Field Event Center. McDonald's Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing. Show information at nwwomenshow.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and our telephone lines are now open if you'd like to call in and chat with me today. In the U.S., the telephone number to dial in to is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. If you're wanting to call in from Canada, the telephone number to call is 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And we also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. You know, we've been talking about real estate, and what I wanted to share with you is some information regarding insurance. They're dependent on where you are, what your circumstances are. You really need to be insurance savvy. And if you're like so many of us, that's you figure out once you do it, that's it. You don't need to worry about it. Well, that's not the case with home insurance. And I wanted to share this information with you because I want to do the research on this myself, being a homeowner. And I think also it's good for us to review things periodically. It's amazing how the years go by when you have your own home. And consequently, you may not think of certain things. So what about insurance? The going rate on home insurance. What is it? Well, you can visit your state's Department of Insurance site. Now, this is where you go to find it. This is the website, naic.org. That's naic.org. Now, what they'll do, they'll show you sample homeowners insurance rates by company. Or you can research rates at a national comparison site like insure.com, or insweb.com, insweb.com. Now, there's so much that's important about this, and let me just share with you a personal experience. We have had our home for a number of years, and, gee, a long time ago, I had signed up for earthquake insurance. Now, we're on the West Coast. We live in the Pacific Northwest, and Mount Rainier is very close to us. So when I signed up for the earthquake insurance, the insurance adjuster, knowing a little bit about my background, said, Donna, do you know something we don't know? I said, well, not really. I just think it's the right thing to do. I lived in California for many, many years. And so when we came up to the Pacific Northwest, just knowing the way things are, that's one of the areas of vulnerability. So we put on earthquake insurance. Well, about 2 years ago, we decided that we were going to check it out. And I have an insurance agency's office that I go through. And I was talking with a young lady that was there, and she said, you know what, Mrs. Sebo, I think we can save you quite a bit of money. You're paying a pretty high rate on your insurance policy. So she went and did some comparison shopping. She came back, and she said, well, I can offer you this, this, and this. And I said, well, what about earthquake coverage? Now, this was after we had had our major earthquake up here a couple of years back. And when we went through it, our house was literally lifted up during the process of the earthquake, and we could feel it moving to the left, to the right, and then down. It was quite an unusual experience, to say the least. So we had earthquake insurance, and she said, oh, I didn't pay attention to that. So she checked it, and she asked me some questions. She said, the property that you are on, is there a slope? And I said, yes, there is, at a certain corner of the property. And so she asked me some questions. She said, Mrs. Sebo, we don't dare change your policy because you would not be eligible for earthquake insurance. She said, stay where you are because that's it. If anything should happen, then you have it. Well, what we also learned is, and we knew this, so when you have policies, certain policies will have limitations. And in our case, an earthquake insurance policy has a $10,000 deductible. So if you don't have $10,000 in the bank or cannot get a loan for $10,000 for repairs, if your house is demolished, so who cares? You're just not going to have the coverage. So it's a fascinating thing, and you need to really look at where you are, what your needs are. We don't need flood insurance because of where we are. We're not in a floodplain area at all, but we have a very good friend that has a piece of property. If it had not had any flooding in the area for a year, but it was designated as a floodplain, he moves in, first 5 years, three floods. Without the flood insurance, he would have been up the creek, so to speak, without the paddle. So that's very important. And also, let's talk a little bit about, your home. When you want to get insurance, you want to get full replacement cost of what you own, not actual cash value. Pay that little bit of extra for full replacement cost, because that is concerning the fact that if your house is burned, if something happens where it's just totally demolished, whatever the cost of the building is at that time, you know, maybe at the time your house was built it was $30 a square foot. Maybe today it's $70 to $120 a square foot, depending on where you live. So if you have just actual cash value, they're only going to give you that $30 per square foot. That's all you can get, and you'll have to cover the rest. So you want full replacement cost value. You want to be aware. Now, if you have an old actual cost value policy, you want to upgrade it. All you have to do is pay 5 or 10% more. You upgrade and have full replacement cost value. Also, if your home is more than 5 years old, consider a law and ordinance coverage, which is something, I'll have to be frank with you, I have not heard anything about. Now, it adds about 8% to your premium, but pays to bring wiring and other features up to local building codes if you have to rebuild. See, things change. And so, believe me, I mentioned during the interview today about someone that I knew that was advised by a builder to just bulldoze the 1950 home that they had, because to replace everything, to do all of the upgrades this individual was considering, was going to cost them far more than a brand new home. Why? Because you have to upgrade wiring and plumbing and all kinds of stuff. So this is something that you might consider for your policy. And again, if you're at risk for flooding, you want to be aware. Now, there's a website called floodsmart.gov, floodsmart.gov. If you are in a floodplain, you want to get your flood insurance. And in a low to moderate risk zone, let's say there's a $250,000 policy on your house with $100,000 for the contents, your cost would be an additional $350 a year. So it would be worth it to you. Believe me, we have a friend, three times in a five-year period, flooded out, and it hadn't flooded for years. Now, someone might say, oh, well, that's a fluke. Forget the flukes. When you buy property that's in a floodplain area, be aware. Be aware. You don't want to end up paying the piper when you don't need to pay the piper if you do take the positioning of saying it's worth that extra few dollars a year to make sure that we are covered, because it does make a difference. And, of course, it all depends on where you live. I have to share a story with you. When I was visiting California a few years back, there was a friend of mine that was in charge of a major resort facility in Southern California, and he was near Lake Elsinore. And he was chuckling, you know, when he was talking to me. He said, I can't believe that people would buy property on a dry lake bed. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, there are developers that have had, and believe me, this is true, that were selling parcels on a dried lake Elsinore area. And he said, I can't believe anybody would do it. Well, guess what? They didn't have a rain for I don't know how many years, and just as they were starting to develop these parcel areas, it got rained on, and I mean big time. It was flood. Think of the guy that built out on the saltwater, Salt Lake water flats, and he said, well, we'll build a hotel out here. That was a story I'll never forget. Builds that hotel out there. Gorgeous place. He would talk to some of the local people. They said, it's not a good idea. You know, there was a reason why nobody's built out there. It is an area that the water goes when we get hit with rain. Hadn't had rains for God knows how many years. By golly, it started raining, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. He lost every penny he had. And the local Indian said, I don't know why people don't listen, but we have known this for centuries. This is what happens when the storms come through. They are very few and far between, but when they do, everything is in the way of that flood of water. So pay attention. Be willing to ask questions. Educate yourself, and you won't regret it. This is Donna Sebo, and I want to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Give me a buzz if you would like to do that. All I'll need is your first name or initial, and we have toll-free numbers here for you to call in the U.S., 877-876-5227, or from Canada, 888-810-8322, and also our direct line of 530-876-3222. Well, New Orleans is in the news because of the Mardi Gras, and I had someone send me some recipes, and I've got to share them with you because they're really neat. Louisiana Dirty Rice, you're hearing me correctly, that's the title of it. A little bit of something about shrimp Creole, and how about King Cakes? Apparently this is something that's really popular in New Orleans, so I'm going to be sharing those goodies with you when we come back. Before we go to break, I do want to let you know about the people that we're going to be having on this week. We're going to talk with Suzanne Mars tomorrow. This is a young woman who ended up being a protege, a researcher of a phenomenal woman. Her name is Eudora Welty. This is her story. I have no information on this woman until the material was sent to me, and I am amazed. She had 39 honorary doctorates given to her by universities around the U.S. Just absolutely phenomenal. And her awards came from all over the world. She was an incredibly highly respected author. And so we're going to be talking about this phenomenal woman who lived to be until 91 years of age and really made an effect in the literary world that still is very much appreciated. And we're going to be talking on Friday about the GI Bill. We're going to be talking about a little bit of history here. Ed Hume is going to be my guest. And we're going to be talking about how that all happened, how it came about, and the benefits that it gave to this nation because it was made available to all of those GIs. So many wonderful stories, so many wonderful people that are interested in sharing their stories on one level or another. And so here on the Donna Sebo Show, we like to be able to bring these stories to you. Next week, we're going to be talking about the business of love. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, that's going to be a lot of fun. Also, we're going to be talking with a very well-known psychic, John Holland, in his new book, Power of the Soul. Dan Lear is the 10-minute coach. And then we're going to be having Terry Lipsy, fascinating woman from thick to thin. She weighed 300 and some odd pounds. You wouldn't believe it was the same woman. And now she's a trim 140. And then we're going to be talking about Cat's Song. For those of you who are cat lovers, this is a must listen. So many wonderful people, and oh, we've got such a great lineup. So you don't want to miss any of it. Tell your friends. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. We'll be right back. Don't you go away now.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Before I give you the information on the recipe, first, here are our toll-free numbers if you want to chat with me today. 877-876-5227 or from Canada, 888-810-8322. Also, for those of you in Washington, I want to just remind you that I am going to be appearing at the Northwest Women's Show, and I'm going to be doing a program each day of March 23rd, 24th, and 25th. So tell your friends, invite them to come. It's going to be at Quest Field in downtown Seattle, and the hours are from 10 to 6, and then I'm going to be available there for many readings with people. I'll have a lot of books from people that have been on my show. So there's just going to be so much that we're going to be able to share. Also, I'm going to be able to share with you some information about glyconutrients. So there is going to be a lot going on. I'm so excited about this. It is always so much fun to be involved with such a wonderful event. It's really dynamic. And more than that, you just see things you wouldn't imagine you'd be able to see. All of these women, thousands and thousands, well over 40,000 women attend this event, and it grows every year. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible, so you're not going to want to miss it. So if you need information, go to my website, and you can check into my newsletter section, and you'll have all the details there. And all you need to do is, if you want to give me a call, it's 800-872-8852, and I'll be glad to supply you with information. That's my office number, 800-872-8852. My website is DelphiInternational.com, DelphiInternational.com. And if you have a special story or you have recipes or anything else that you want to share with me, send me an email. Send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Donna@DelphiInternational.com. I love to hear from you, and I really appreciate it. If you have any comments about the show, put it on the BBS radio site. You're listening to it. There's a comment button. Go in there and let us know what you think of the programming. If there's something special you'd like to hear, let us know, too. We care here at BBSRadio.com. Okay, I told you I had some recipes here. Now, again, Mardi Gras is a wonderful time. And Lon sent me this. This came from Thailand. Yes, which I just, isn't it amazing what we do? Lon sent me this, and he said, Donna, this is for Mardi Gras, for the beginning of Mardi Gras, Louisiana dirty rice and shrimp Creole. Okay, so here we go. For the Louisiana dirty rice, and trust me, it's not rolled around on the ground, folks. This is just something that somebody adopted. because of what you're putting in it. You need a quarter of a cup of an onion, and you need to chop that. Quarter of a cup of onion chopped. Quarter of a cup of celery leaves chopped. Quarter of a cup of celery leaves chopped. A half a pound of fresh andouille or pork sausage. A half a pound of fresh andouille or pork sausage. 1 cup of white long grain rice. And this should not be cooked. This is raw. 1 cup raw white long grain rice. 2 cups of water, and you need 1.5 teaspoons of ground cumin. 2 cups of water, 1.5 teaspoons of ground cumin. Okay, now this is how simple it is. In a large skillet, you brown your sausage with the onion and celery until the sausage is just cooked and it's all crumbly and the vegetables have softened. Now, if you had a lot of fat out of the sausage that you're using, you want to drain it. You don't want to keep all that fat in your mixture because it'll get very hard. So what you want to do is drain it. You don't wash it, though. You just drain it. You want the flavor of your sausage and your onions and your celery. Then what you do to that mixture, you add your rice, your water, and your cumin, and then you stir them together, bring it to a boil, and then cover it, reducing your heat to low, and just simmer for 20 minutes, and your rice and everything will be ready there. Now, this is what goes with it. This is your shrimp creole. You're going to need 2 tablespoons of your favorite oil, 2 tablespoons of oil. You're going to need 1/2 cup of onion and 1/2 cup of bell pepper chopped. 1/2 cup of onion and 1/2 cup of green bell pepper chopped. You're going to need 1/4 cup of celery chopped, and then you're going to need 2 cloves of garlic minced. You want to have 1 teaspoon of Creole seasoning, teaspoon of Creole seasoning, 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper to taste, and you might want to add it. If you really like it spicy, it's up to you. But these are just the basics. And then you need 1 14.5-ounce can of diced tomatoes. You don't want to drain them. You need 1 14.5-ounce can of diced tomatoes undrained. You need 1/4 cup of white wine, or it can be water, or you can use tomato juice, any one of the three. 1/4 cup of white wine or water or tomato juice, whatever your preference is. You need 1 bay leaf, or you can use ground bay leaf, usually like about 1/8 teaspoon. 1 pound, then, of fresh raw shrimp that have been cleaned, shelled, and deveined. You might want to have a little bit of sliced green onion for garnish and chopped fresh parsley. Now, this is what you do with your shrimp creole. You heat your oil over medium heat, saute the vegetables until they're tender. It's going to take about 4 or 5 minutes. You add the cloves, or not cloves, you add the spices and the cayenne pepper, your creole seasoning, and your cayenne pepper. You stir the mixture thoroughly. You add your diced tomatoes and white wine, or your water, or your tomato juice, or your tomato sauce, whatever you like. You add in your bay leaf, and you bring the mixture to a boil. Now, you cover and reduce the heat to low, and you let it simmer for about 10 minutes. Add the shrimp, and it doesn't take long for the shrimp. All you need are a few minutes, like 4 minutes maybe. The shrimp will turn opaque. You'll know it's time to take it off the heat. Take out the bay leaf. Taste it. Make sure that you have the correct seasonings as you like them. Add a little bit of salt and pepper if you need to, or additional spice. And sometimes Louisiana cooks like to add a pinch of sugar and a dash of hot sauce at the end of the dish. And so what you do, you have your dirty rice into a low bowl or a plate and top it with your shrimp creole. And that's what you've got. You sprinkle chopped onion and parsley over the top. And they said don't forget the hot sauce for the table. Yeah, is your mouth burning already? Okay. So we have that. But the king cake I thought was a lot of fun, and this is an extra one. This is a traditional Mardi Gras treat, and it's baked and covered with poured sugar topping and Mardi Gras colors. And the colors are purple, which represents justice, green represents faith, and gold represents power. So usually the person who finds a tiny hidden baby or coin in his or her slice of cake must provide the cake the next year or host next year's party. And they have hundreds of thousands of these king cakes that are consumed at parties worldwide every year. And that's just traditional. When you have a Mardi Gras party, you always have a king cake. And they can be quite consuming to make. So this is an easy, easy version. And all you need is a can of cinnamon rolls that comes with icing, 3/4 cup of sugar, and you separate that into three parts of 1/4 cup each. Then you have food coloring. And what you do, you separate the cinnamon rolls, roll them out by hand so they look like a hot dog, and then shape the roll into an oval. You pinch the ends together and place them on a cookie sheet. Now, you cook them as directed, but while they're cooking, you can make up your food coloring, dye the sugar, and then you mix, your purple can be made using the blue and red, one part green and one part gold using the yellow. And then when you are icing, when the cinnamon rolls come out, you can ice them with your icing and then sprinkle the different colors of sugars, alternating them as you sprinkle the different sugars over the oval. Now, if you want to put that special coin in or a special goodie, so whoever ends up getting it is going to have to host the next party, then just stick it in there before you bake it. This is Donna Sebo. We are out of time. It's been absolutely delightful sharing this hour with you. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And be aware that the more education you have, the better it's going to serve you if you use it wisely. Bye for now. Talk with you tomorrow.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.